Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to dive into your word. Your word is what sustains us. It's what we live on. We live on every word that comes out of your mouth. And so this morning, I just pray you'd spread a banquet table that we would pull up, that we would eat, that your word would impact us. Your word is described as a two-edged sword that cuts asunder our spirit and flesh. It goes right into our soul. And I just pray that you'd turn the spotlight on to our soul this morning, and that you would expose areas where we need new revelation of who you are. And I pray that you would change us forever, and we'll give you the glory and the honor. We won't take any of the credit because it all belongs to you. And so, Father, we're thankful this morning that we can anticipate that you're going to move, and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I go to a talk back church, so y'all need to talk back a little bit to me. We planted this church, and I refuse to have a quiet church. I tell them that I'm white chocolate, so that, you, whatever that means to you, I like a little lively church, and so y'all gonna have to help me this morning. Y'all can see I'm already wet, and I haven't even started preaching yet. That's from first service, so y'all help me this morning. I discovered that unless you understand the nature of a thing, then you don't know how to anticipate or expect how that thing will act. So let me give you an example. Maybe you love cats. Why anybody would love a cat, I don't understand. That's beyond me. That's a whole different sermon. But let's just say you love cats. I got some stories about cats. But if you love cats and you spend time with them, they don't spend time with you. You spend time with them. And you take a safari to Africa, and you're driving on the little van, and all of a sudden a male lion comes out of the bush. If you don't understand the difference in nature between the cat that you have at your house or the cat that has your house, I'm not sure how that works, and that lion, then you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble simply because you don't understand the nature of a thing. Here's another example. If you expect your house cat to act like a dog and you treat that cat like a dog, you are going to be sadly frustrated. Like, here, boy, and he just rolls his eyes at you, or sit, and he just leaves the room. You know, cats don't act like dogs because it's not in their nature to act like a dog. Here's one that may be even more practical. If you don't know the nature of people, then you can get yourself in real trouble. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but there have been occasions in my life where I would treat someone that was, I found out later that they were an enemy, but I didn't understand their nature. I thought they just talked about everybody else. I didn't realize they were talking about me too. Come on, somebody. You ought to believe it when you hear it coming out of their mouth, but I just thought I'm better than that, and they love me more. But I would treat them like a friend, but their nature was the nature of an enemy. And because I didn't understand that, I got myself into situations. And so I submit to you this morning that understanding and recognizing the nature of a thing is certainly a life skill that you need to know and need to work on. But I also want to tell you this morning that understanding the nature of a thing is a spiritual skill that you must hone and that you must develop. All right, so if you don't understand where I'm going, just hang on. If you want to get your Bibles out, get your iPad out, get your iPhone out, turn to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to talk about that for just a second. If you have an Android, it'll be on the screen for you. Okay, so let me give you this before we move on. The definition, some of y'all just now, y'all know you're slow, but you're worth waiting on, right? All right, so the definition of nature is, it's important, and I don't normally give definitions because you can look them up on your own, but I want you to listen, just listen. The definition of nature is this. Nature is defined as the usual and expected characteristics of life, the essential and irreplaceable traits of a thing. You missed it. It is the usual and expected characteristics or traits of a thing. So Moses has this encounter with God in Exodus chapter 3, and you're familiar with this passage. If you've been in church very long at all, you know this passage in Exodus chapter 3. Moses has been tending the sheep of his father-in-law on the backside of the desert for quite a few years because he killed an Egyptian, and he runs for his life. And he has this encounter with God. But in this encounter with God, there's this revelation that Moses is struggling to understand the nature of a thing. So if you will, join me in Exodus chapter 3, and let's see what happens, and then we're going to move into later on in the Old Testament about another occasion that we need to dive into. It says this: Now Moses was leading the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God, and there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush, and Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up. So Moses thought, hey, I'll go over and see. I guess so. I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Now, you know the account. He has this conversation with God, and God calls Moses now to go back to Egypt as the deliverer for the children of Israel, who have now been in bondage for over 400 years, right? So he calls him that, but you got to go further in the story, because in verse 13, Moses responds back to this call. And he says to God in verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers, that's interesting to me there. I don't have time to mess with it, but he doesn't even identify that God is the God of his father. He just said, and he was, but he just says, the God of your fathers. He says, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I say to them or tell them? And God said to Moses, he has his Popeye moment. God says to Moses, I am who I am. Thanks a lot, God. Appreciate the conversation. You've really helped me today. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So Moses has this encounter with God at the burning bush. God calls Moses. Moses says back to God, if I'm going to go do this thing that you're calling me to do, then I need to know who you are. He is literally saying to God, I don't know you. I don't know your nature. I don't understand the characteristics of who you are. How can I then go and represent you and be your mouthpiece? How can I expect anything from you? How can I represent you? How can I trust you? How can I believe in you? How can I depend on you if I don't understand your nature? So God, you got to reveal your nature to me. Who are you? And God says, I am that I am. Literally, if you go back and look it up and do some study, God is literally saying to Moses, he's exposing his nature to Moses when he says, this is what he was really saying, I will be who I will be. You missed it. In other words, he's literally saying to Moses in that moment, I will be who you need me to be when you need me to be. And when you need me to be that thing, that's who I will be. He's literally revealing to Moses that his nature is that I will be exactly what you need me to be. It is a revelation of nature. And so Moses walks in that understanding. He now has a revelation of who God is. He's who I need him to be. But that's only the first stop on the revelation, because that is just the beginning moment where the people of God begin to get revelations of who God is. And God continues to, over the next few decades and centuries, reveals himself to the children of Israel and to men like Moses by revealing his nature through his names. So we don't have time. I'm just going to mention a few of them. I'm going to mention the ones that most of us have had a revelation about in our own life, because God in this journey reveals to the children of Israel and then to us that he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that heals. That means when the doctor looks at me and says, you're going to die. When the doctor looks at me and says, throws up his hands and says, I've done all I know to do and there's no hope. When I've taken the medicine and nothing has taken place, what I recognize is this, that it is the nature of my God to be a healer. He is the great physician. By the stripes that his son bore on his back, I am healed. So I can walk in the authority and the understanding and the knowledge of his nature. So I expect him to show up as a healer. So I take my sickness to him because he revealed to me that's the nature of who he is. I've encountered him as Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. That's why when I'm living in a crazy world, and if y'all ain't figured it out yet, we are living smack dab in the middle of a crazy world. They have lost their minds. They can't tell right from wrong, up from down, boy from girl, boy from dog, dog from, they can't figure it out. And it would seem to me that if we're living in that kind of society, we should be consumed with panic, and we should be worried, and we should be freaked out, and we ought to hole up in our house and never come out. But I've had a revelation of his nature, that he's Jehovah Shalom, so that the craziness and the circus and the chaos out there never enters my heart. I don't have to freak out. I don't have to think it's all going to pot. I don't have to think, well, there's no hope, there's no chance, because I've got a revelation that by his nature, he produces peace that passes all understanding. So I show up at work and they can't figure out why I'm still in my right mind, because I've met Jehovah Shalom and he produced peace in my life. I'm going through destruction in my life and I've still got a smile on my face. Why? Because I met him as Jehovah Shalom and he produced peace in me, and you didn't give it to me and you can't take it away. And so I recognize that by his nature, he produces peace. I've met him as Jehovah Nisi. He's the banner that covers me. We say, well, how does that help you? It let me know that by his nature, even when I can't watch my own back, and even when the people I thought were watching my back aren't watching my back, I don't have to worry because he's got my back. So he goes before me and he goes behind me and he's on my right and on his left. There's more for me than there are for against me. So I settle in the fact that he is the God that covers me. He's my righteousness. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means when I show up and I've made mistakes and I've fallen flat on my face, and the accuser of the brethren steps up and wants to badmouth me and make accusations against me, God pushes me out of the way, steps between, and says, don't look at his righteousness, look at my righteousness. Because even though his righteousness is his filthy rags, my righteousness is sufficient for him, and I've clothed him in my righteousness. That's his nature. His nature is Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. That means that he leads me and guides me. And when I don't know where to go and I don't know what to do and I'm not sure what step I should take, I can trust him as my good shepherd, because as my good shepherd, he leads me beside still waters and he takes me into green pastures. I can trust him because I've had a revelation about his nature. He's my shepherd. And the one Pentecostals love, I know I'm in the right place when I say this one. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. That means when the economy out there is falling apart, I don't have to be wigged out and freaked out and what am I going to do and how am I going to make ends meet, because I've discovered something by his nature, that the righteous will never beg for bread. They're never forsaken. They never beg for bread. He owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. So I can trust him because I found out about his nature. Yeah, that's his nature. That's his nature. That's who he is. That's who he is. Those are glimpses. Those are small windows that were provided to show us who God is and give us a small view of what he does. But I think here's the dilemma this morning. I came to say this to you this morning. I think we, our understanding of his nature, I think a lot of times we stop short. We've encountered him in these ways, but we stop short, which brings us to 2 Samuel chapter 5. This is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. You say, well, I thought you're already spending time. Well, the rest of our time. We're going to spend the rest of our time in 2 Samuel chapter 5. There's this encounter that happens. I want you to see this because we need to get this revelation about his nature. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, this happens. It says this in verse 17. Then the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, and they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Hardname. That's Raphaim. My pastor used to say Hardname when he got to those. You're welcome. I just helped you read through Leviticus next week. Just say Hardname. And Hardname begat Hardname. And Hardname begat. It'll help you. Okay. So they spread out in the valley of Hardname. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered him, go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David went to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. And he said, as the waters break out, the Lord has broken out against my enemies before me. So that place was called Baal Perazim, and the Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Let me help you in another translation. Another translation says this, go up, God replied, I'll help you beat them. And David then went straight to Baal Perazim and smashed them to pieces. I love that. And afterward, David said, God exploded on my enemies. I love that. God exploded on my enemies like a gush of water. That's why David named the place Baal Perazim, the master who explodes. So I came this morning to remind some of you and inform some of you that we are serving not only Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Ra and Jehovah Shalom and Jehovah Nisi, we are also serving Jehovah Perazim, the God of breakthrough. But here's why I bring that to your attention, because a lot of us show up in environments like this and we know we need a breakthrough. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's why we came this morning, is we needed a breakthrough. But there are a lot of us that walk in at different maturity levels and self-awareness levels, and some of you don't even know you need a breakthrough. Oh, come on now. Yeah. How many of you know a lot of times we're not as free as we think we are? And a lot of times we're not even as healed as we think we are. And so we roll up in environments like this acting like we're free when we're just more free than we used to be. We're just halfway healed and halfway whole. And so what God does is he has this tendency to expose us, to expel us from seasons of settling. And some of you have settled in some things as if they're normal and as if they're acceptable and as if they're okay and as if this is the life that God intended for you. And I just came by to tell you that we have forgotten that we serve a God that is a God of breakthroughs. Too many of us live in the expectation of Jehovah Jireh to bring provision, and we live with the expectation of Jehovah Shalom to produce peace, and we live in the expectation that Jehovah Nisi will cover us, but we fail to live with any expectation or any anticipation that the God of breakthrough will show up and bring a breakthrough in our lives. And so we must deepen our revelation, because we should be living with the same expectation that we expect healing with. We should be living with that same anticipation that God can break through in my life and in my situation and circumstance. In other words, when it seems like I'm at rock bottom, and when it seems like I've got nowhere to turn, and when it seems like I'm out of supply, and when it seems like I'm out of anointing and out of oil, and when my back is up against the wall and I don't have anywhere else to go and I don't know what to do, in that moment, rather than you throwing up your hands thinking that life is over for me, instead of looking at me like Job's friends and saying, curse God and die, instead of throwing in the towel on my behalf, I need you to do something else. I need you to start watching me, because what I've discovered is I've discovered his nature. So when I find myself surrounded by the desperate, and when I find myself inundated with the impossible, I begin to look around me for small signs and indications that the God of the breakthrough is about to show up, because I want you to notice something, that in my pain, he does his best work, and in my problems, he comes and he always performs. And so I begin to look. Don't give up on me. I want you to watch me more closely. When you see me in a situation where it doesn't seem possible, I want you to watch me more closely, because I've discovered that even though I can't trace him, I can trust him. And even though I may not know he's working on my behalf, that somewhere in the background, all I got, where is he at? I need to find him. I need to locate him. I'm watching for small signs that he's working on my behalf, because that's his nature. That's who he is. That's who he is. He is Jehovah Perazim. He is the God of breakthrough. So I'm looking for movements and small changes, because I know that because it is his nature, he will not miss the opportunity to produce breakthrough in my life. So what does that mean? That means that you should show up at church every Sunday morning if you're sick, expecting to be healed. And you should show up at Fountain of Life on a Sunday morning expecting God to produce peace in your life. You should show up on Sunday morning expecting God to bring provision in your life. But I came to talk to some folks that showed up at church this morning whose life is surrounded by rubble. And it looks like everything is gone. And it doesn't look like there's any way that anything could change. I came to tell you that just like the person that walked in here sick is expecting healing, you should walk in here expecting a breakthrough. A breakthrough. A breakthrough. A breakthrough. Here's what a breakthrough is. A breakthrough is when God defies logic. A breakthrough is when God defies man's wisdom and conclusions. Everybody else can look at you and say, there's no way. But God's going to say, yes, there is a way. I am the way. And I can produce a breakthrough here. A breakthrough is when God defies natural laws. A breakthrough is when he defies normal. A breakthrough is when he defies deadlines. A breakthrough is when he defies imagination. God is the God of breakthroughs. And let me say this. If you don't hear anything else I say this morning, would you please hear me say this? He would have to act out of his character and opposed to his nature if he didn't produce a breakthrough in your life. You missed it. I just stopped by to tell you this morning that God would have to quit acting like God. God would have to operate and work in direct contrast, a total opposite way of his nature if he didn't produce a breakthrough in your life. So what do we do? How do we get breakthrough? I'm going to help you because I think we ought to go back to the Word. So it's one thing for a preacher to stand up here and say, God is a God of breakthrough. How do we get it? What's the recipe? Because I want a recipe. I need you to help me because I don't have any trouble believing for healing, and I don't have any trouble for believing for peace and covering. But how do I tap into this breakthrough stuff? Well, we go back to the Word, because the Word shows that in this account with David, there is a couple of steps that we need to take. If we want to pull on this nature of God, this side of God, then we need to do what David did. So here we go. Two things. Number one, breakthrough requires inquiry. You got to stop and ask. Okay, no help. Y'all left me up here all by myself. So if we want to have breakthrough, then it requires us to ask God for the breakthrough. You say, why? Because we have this revelation that we cannot rely on ourselves. We cannot rely on our own ingenuity, our own strength, our own power. Listen, if you could have gotten out of the bondage you're in your own power, you would have already been out. If you could have dealt with the financial need in your life that's about to crush you, you would have already dealt with it. If you could have broken the habit, gotten rid of the addiction by yourself, you would have already gotten there. But we got to come to this revelation that this is stuff I can't handle on my own. And so we come to this place where we recognize that his ways are better. I stop long enough to say, God, any way you want to do this, I'm ready, because your ways are better. We love to sing that. I love that song. I think we ought to sing it right now. No, because we sing it, we just don't believe it. We sing your ways are better, but we think we got it figured out. And so we must come to this revelation that we got to stop. And we go, God, I don't have this thing figured out. If I had this thing figured out, I wouldn't be stopping and asking you now. I need you. In fact, here's where I'm at, God. I won't sign another check. I won't make another move. I won't put my name on another contract. I won't make another proposal. Come on, somebody. I won't date another person. I won't make a job change without first stopping and saying to you, I need your help, because I am relying completely and totally on you. I think the reason that most of us don't experience breakthrough is because we keep trying to produce it on our own. And I recognize that God, we say God will fight our battles. Yeah, unless we're fighting them. We don't even give him room to fight. And so he sits on the sidelines watching us fight, saying, I can produce a breakthrough, but you won't put the sword down long enough to let me get involved, and you won't ask me what you need to do. I'm preaching right now. This is what I know. David relied on God. He stops long enough, and he says, God, what do you want me to do? I cannot do this in my own strength, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord, right? He says, I can't do this on my own. Listen, God has the ability, but we have the responsibility. Right, he's got the power to bring breakthrough, but we have the responsibility to do this, to ask. We have not because we ask not. Yeah, we are to make our petitions known. We say, well, does God not already know? Yes, he knows. The reason that we are to make our petition known is so that we say to God, I want you to know that I know that you know. You missed it. I want you to know that you know. I know that I'm not God, you are, and I need your help. And so I need you to know that I am distinctly aware of my need for you. There's a second reason we need to stop and ask, because when we inquire, it forces us to stay in lockstep with his method of breakthrough. Otherwise, we will box him up into what he's already done. Can't get no help up in here right now. David, I just need to inform you that this is not David's first skirmish with the Philistines. This is a repeated skirmish with the Philistines. David was undefeated. He has no rival. He had never lost in battle. With a rock and a sling, he takes down the Philistines' champion, right? He's won every battle. I think David probably had this fleeting thought, I know how to deal with these jokers. I've done this before. Am I right? Yeah. Every time he goes out to war, he defeats the Philistines. So it would have been really logical for him to go, I know how to handle this. But he doesn't. He stops and he inquires. He could have thought, I'll just do what I've always done and God will intervene. But he stops to inquire so that he doesn't miss God's delivery system because of his own preferences and his own comfort zones. I am convinced that too many of us miss our breakthrough because we won't stop to ask God how he wants to do it. Instead, we try to force God to bring breakthrough how we want it done. I submit to you that as Western Christians, our preferences have become our God. So when God wants to send breakthrough into our life and he wants to send it a different way, we just sang, there's a new thing coming. The problem with a new thing coming is most of us like the old thing better. So we sing it, but then when he tries to bring it, we won't accept it, and so we don't experience breakthrough. I have a question for you this morning. What if the delivery system that God wants to use to bring deliverance in your life is a delivery system that you don't like? What if God wants to bring deliverance through somebody you don't like? Moses. They didn't like Moses, but he was the delivery system that... Listen, some of you are here right now, and you're praying and asking God to bring a breakthrough, and he's trying, but because there are lights and smoke and screens and songs you don't like, you're going, well, if we would just do what we used to do, we would have breakthrough. What if this is the delivery system that God wants to use to produce breakthrough in your life, but you won't let him because you don't like this delivery? We've got to come back to this place where we say, God, however you want to bring it, whatever form, whatever fashion, use somebody I don't even like. Let their preaching be somebody I can't even stand to listen to them. Let the song leader be somebody I can't even stand their voice. Doesn't matter, whatever you want to do, I will submit to your ways because your ways are better. We lay down our comfort zone and we stop to inquire and discover that God reveals his plans to us and it shows God that we are willing because we haven't placed you in a box. God, we'll do what, as long as you go, we'll go. Whatever you're blessing, we want to be a part of. We're not asking you to bless what we're doing. We want to be a part of what you're blessing. Some of you are not experiencing breakthrough this morning because he's not willing to do it the way he did it before. And you got to let him do it a new way. The second thing I want to say to you is this. If you didn't like the first one, you're going to hate this one. Lord Jesus. Breakthrough requires follow through. So David stops and he says, God, I need your help. And God says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go up and defeat the Philistines. Go, I will be with you, right? That's in the book, right? Okay. I want you to notice what David does. David goes back to his tent, and he stretches out in the hammock, and he gets him a good sweet tea from Bojangles, probably a country ham and cheese biscuit, because that's like the marriage supper of the lamb. And he lays back, and he says, well, God's got this. Right? No. The Bible says that after he gets instructions from God, he follows through. He and his men strap up. They get their swords and their shields and their spears, and they go out. And even though God had promised them a breakthrough, this is what they had to do. They still had to fight. They had to participate. Shall I go? Yes. So what did he do? He went. Oh, this is deep right here. Some of you want breakthrough, but you've got absolutely no follow-through. None. So you want to escape. You just don't want to put any effort to escape. Okay. I'm not preaching about y'all. I'm just preaching about those jokers I used to pastor, all right? So I'm talking about my folks back home. We planted a church 16 years ago. I just stepped aside as founding pastor, so now I can be mean. So because I don't have to preach every week. But I would watch people come to the altar week after week and say, "Oh, God, I need a breakthrough. I'm in financial ruin. My hair's did, my nails have been done, and I got a $1,500 iPhone, but oh, God, I need you to turn my lights back on." Yeah. "Let me help you, baby. Cut that credit card in half and leave it here." Yeah. "Oh, no, can't do that, because I got a nail appointment this week, and I can't do that." What in the world, man? That's wanting God's intervention with no investment on my part. Got people running to the altar, "Help me with my money. I came in." And then I would literally set up an appointment with them with a lady in our church that is a financial guru. She can do budgets like nobody's business. And they would stand her up every time. They got to the hair appointment on time. They just would never show up for her appointment. And I'm just like, "What is going on?" And we laugh and but my question is this: is what has he told you to do that you haven't done? We come in here and we ask God, "I need a breakthrough. I need a miracle. I need your intervention. Rescue me, rescue me, rescue me." And God says, "Okay, I will. This is what you need to do." And then we don't do it. And then we want to act like God's nature has changed. Instead of asking this question: what did he tell you to do? Did he tell you to pray? Pray. Did he tell you to fast? Then why were you at Krispy Kreme this morning? Did he tell you to give? Then why haven't you given? Did he tell you to serve? Then why are you still sitting on the sidelines going, "Well, I don't have any gifts and I don't have any skill"? He told you to serve, and your breakthrough is on the other side of obedience. Amen. On the other side of obedience. And partial obedience is complete disobedience. "Well, I came to church like I'm supposed to. That's obedience, and so I think he'll give me a breakthrough because I'm obeying him in that area." Yeah, but what did he tell you to do that you haven't done? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When my son would come home and I would tell him to mow the yard, if he went and cleaned his room and didn't mow the yard, I didn't give him a steak dinner appreciating him for cleaning his room when I told him to mow the yard. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. So let me give you a word, okay, because this is what North American Western Christians do. We chase words. If I can just get me a word, I like. If I didn't like it, it wasn't really a word. They had bad pizza last night. I didn't have any pizza last night, so we're okay. But we want a word. Can I help you? Can I give you a prophetic word this morning? Here it is. You don't need a new word. All you need to do is do the last word he gave you to do that you haven't done. Amen. You don't like me. Y'all ready for me to fly home? I'm just telling you, I'm weary of people needing a new word, needing a new word, needing a new word. And then you go to them and say, "Well, did you do what the word said?" "No, I never even thought about it." What in the world, man? Breakthrough requires follow through. Amen. Follow through. What did he tell you to do that you haven't done? Because as soon as you do it, surprise, breakthrough. 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 You say, "Well, you don't have any Bible for that." Yes, I do. I'll take you to the New Testament. There's an account in the New Testament where there's this young dude. He's rich. Let me say it like this. He's dripping. Makes me feel young. I probably ain't even using it right, but he's dripping. I mean, he's got his chariot lowered to the ground. It's thumping. I mean, he's got everything blinged out. I mean, he's got it. I mean, he's dripping. And he rolls up to Jesus, and he asks Jesus for a breakthrough. You're twisting scripture. No, I'm not. He asked him, how could he be saved? That is the greatest breakthrough you can ever have. And he says to Jesus, I want to have breakthrough. What do I need to do? Jesus gives him a word that he doesn't like, that he's not comfortable with, that doesn't conform to the box that he had God in. Jesus looks at him and says, go and sell everything you own, give it to the poor, and you'll find eternal life. And the guy says, no, I'm good. And he turns and he drives off rich and broke. And I'm concerned that most of us get words from God that we never obey, and then we want to say, I don't know why I'm not free. We have a hope center at our church, and I love working with those men. The trouble I struggle with is that they, once they've been there a while, they know what to do. They just don't want to do it. I wonder who they learned that from. Us. They watch us get words from God that we never follow through on. Did he tell you to forgive? Then forgive. Did he say get over it? Then get over it. I want to remind you again, and I'll get out of your way, of the definition of nature. Nature is defined as the usual and expected characteristics of life, the essential, irreplaceable traits of that thing or a thing. This is what I am asking you to do. I am challenging you to do this, to have a revelation about God, about his nature. And then to place a demand. That sounds really weird, but I'm asking you, if we can place a demand on his healing power, and if we can place a demand on his providing power, and if we can place a demand on his covering power, then why don't we think we can come to church or experience him at home and place a demand on his breakthrough power? And so I want to challenge you this morning that we need to go back and ask God to live up to and function according to his usual and expected characteristics. But perhaps we aren't experiencing breakthrough simply because we haven't come to the revelation of his nature, that he does what he does because of who he is. Amen. And who he is the God of a breakthrough. And so my last statement to you this morning is simply this. I want you to catch this. His nature makes it natural for him to do the supernatural. I'm going to say that one more time. His nature makes it natural for him to do the supernatural. Why is that important for us to get this morning? Because if you rolled up in here and you are in a situation that everybody else says there's no way out and there's no way through, if you're in this place and you're going, I don't know how I'm going to make ends meet, if you're in this place and I don't think my marriage is going to survive, I don't think my family's going to survive, I don't know what steps to take, I don't know what to turn, I just came to tell you that it's natural for him to do the supernatural, and he wants to produce a breakthrough in your life if you will simply ask him and then do what he says to do. He's Jehovah Perazim, the God of the breakthrough. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now that you would do what I cannot do. I pray that you would open our eyes, our heart, our spirit, our minds to comprehend more about your nature. We cannot draw on, put a demand on, expect you to break through if we don't have a revelation that that's who you are. That's what you do. You can't help it. You would have to act out of character not to produce a breakthrough in our lives. And so, Father, this morning as we pray for folks, I just pray that in the name of Jesus that you would show up in your nature and by your normal acts and characteristics, you would show up and you would do what only you can do. I pray that you would produce a breakthrough in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand with me this morning?
Hey, it's such an honor to have you join us for service. I pray the word was a blessing to you, and I pray you avail yourselves to the resources we have online. And if you're ever in the Elizabeth City area, or I mean Outer Banks or Tidewater, Virginia, make the drive. Come visit us one Sunday. We would love to welcome you here, and you can experience this yourself. As one man used to say, can't be explained, can only be experienced. There's some truth into that. Anyhow, thank you for watching. I pray the Lord will bless you and that you grow in your faith and fulfill the call that God has on your life. We here at Fountain of Life love you.